The Witch of Oxshott by A.M. Burridge. It's strange how old the world has grown since first I knew it, and what tools this generation has produced. The young whelps, proud of their store of learning, have created new philosophies in place of those which served their forebears. They are pink and white, overdressed Sadducees, and we old men, who have not the time nor the strength to be angry, listen to them and smile in patience. Only t'other day a young man told me that he believed only what he saw, and I had an answer ready for him, for the gift of using my tongue remains with me. What could he have seen, poor little cub, fresh from its mother? And 'tis so with many of them. They will not believe there is a hell until their fat is frizzling. Last Sunday our parson, a man of parts and extensive learning, preached a sermon on superstition, and chided the village folk for their belief in witchcraft. And it troubled me to see that so admirable a man had forgotten the Witch of Endor and one of the laws of Moses. I have since spoken nothing to him on the subject, nor shall. But I have seen what I have seen, and during the rest of his discourse I closed my eyes and slipped back into the past, so that scene in the lonely house returned to me with all its haunting horror. 'Twas in those days when I, Captain Jack Bishop, outlaw and Toby man, roamed the highways with a price upon me head, picking my living in a way that would have grieved my mother had she lived to see it. And 'twas late in the winter of 1748 that what I'm about to set down took place. I had done well on the York Road, and made it too hot to hold me. A friendly innkeeper warned me that the narks were hot on my track, so I retreated quietly and made my way south to London, through Hertfordshire and Middlesex. I'd intended going as far south as Haywards Heath before starting business once more, but while slaking my thirst at the Greyhound at Leatherhead, I read a bill offering a reward for my capture, which lessened my anxiety. 'Twas the most unfaithful and unflattering description of me possible to conceive, but I was not unthankful to its author. I was in no more danger from it than a village curate, so I decided to take my leisure and sleep the night in Dorking. There was the very faintest touch of frost in the air, and as there had been a spell of dry weather, the roads made travelling a pleasure. The moon was up, and in her third quarter, and the stars burnt brightly in a clear sky. I bestrode Meg with a lightsome heart, and gloried in the rhythm of our progress and the rush of cold wind in my face. And though the starlight and the whispering trees that lined the road bade me dream a while of the maid Barbara who had gone out of my life forever, 'twas too fresh a night for a man to carry a sore heart in his body. Faith, I had not nearly reached Dorking when the pangs of hunger assailed me, and I began to cast about me for the sight of a friendly inn wherein I might appease them. I found one in a little hollow under the shadow of the downs. 'Twas in a little village, the name of which, if my memory serves me, was Mickleham. I remember it as a scattering of tiny cottages built at crazy angles on the pine-clad hillside, some of them with gardens on a slope like the face of a cliff. There was a small inn there, facing the iron gates of a gentleman's house. I think 'twas named the Acorn. 'Twas devilish small, and the ostler who came out in answer to my summons told me that there was no room for Meg in the stable. "Her master will not feed unless she does," says I. "So take her into the yard and feed and water her. I leave here the moment I have supped." With that, I strode into the house and demanded the coffee room. A loud-voiced doxy showed it me, and I found 'twas little better than a tap room, with benches and a plain deal table on trestles. I therefore decided to eat but sparingly, and delay the pangs of hunger until I reached Dorking, where I could sup as a gentleman should. The wench informed me that the house contained no better fare than cold bacon and pickles, and made some attempt to be insolent when she saw my wry face. I called for a clay pipe, and filled and lit it while she laid the table.